Good morning and welcome again to Words of Faith, and thank you for tuning in today. It's great to have you listening, and we appreciate so much the opportunity to be able to study with you today. We hope that you have your Bible ready. We're going to be turning to Luke chapter 12 today, and we'll begin reading in verse 13. That is Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 13. We're going to be talking today about the story that is oftentimes called the story of the rich fool. And it begins in Luke chapter 12, verse 13. You know, in the book of Luke, you find quite a bit said about rich people and about poor people and about the injustices and the unfairness of life in this regard. And so here in Luke chapter 12, we read about the rich fool. When we get over to Luke chapter 16, we read about the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And there are just many other accounts in this gospel according to Luke that deal with the subject of money. And so it's very interesting from that regard. Now, the Bible is relevant. It deals with our lives right down where we live. And this story is a good example. The story here begins with a dispute, and it's a dispute of the worst kind. It's a dispute over money, and it's a family dispute. So let's begin reading here in Luke chapter 12, verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And so the situation was this. There was a man and his brother, and they received an inheritance, but the other brother had not divided it with him. He had not given him his share at this point. Now, we don't know who was right and who was wrong in this situation. The Bible doesn't say. Jesus doesn't say. As a matter of fact, Jesus does not even go into this. But you have here a typical situation, or at least a common situation. And that is, many times problems are caused over money when it comes to an inheritance. When it comes to a will and the people that are left something by somebody else, this is something that has caused many, many disputes and a lot of hard feelings in life. And we find that this is an old, old situation. Because we're looking at a story here that is almost 2,000 years old, and yet it is exactly what we oftentimes find today. It is an argument over a will. So this man, the Bible says, comes to Jesus, and he doesn't have a question for Jesus. He doesn't come to Jesus and say, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He doesn't come to Jesus with a Bible question. He comes to him because he wants Jesus to get into the middle of this problem and to settle this so that this man can have the money that he thinks that he deserves and perhaps does deserve. But the Bible says in verse 14 that Jesus said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Even Jesus would not even try to settle this man's argument. Jesus himself did not try to answer every question, and he did not try to settle every dispute. So why would anyone think today that he should settle every problem? I think that sometimes people who are very involved in the church, and I believe that especially preachers, sometimes get themselves into the mindset that they think that they ought to solve and settle every problem that comes up in a congregation. Even Jesus didn't do that. And that kind of reminds us of the Old Testament story of Moses, where he was sitting down from morning till evening, trying to settle every spat and every dispute among the children of Israel. His father-in-law came to him and said, what you're doing is not good because you're going to wear yourself out, and you need other people to help you with that. So I believe that there's a very practical lesson here in what we're seeing, and that is that even Jesus Christ himself did not try to settle every argument. He said, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? I'm not in that place. I'm not in that role. You see, Jesus was not a political leader. Jesus was not a public official. He said, there are people that can do that. There are people who are appointed to do this kind of thing that you're talking about. But that's not my role. Now, I believe that there's also a side lesson here to note. And that is that Jesus Christ did not come to the earth to be a political figure. You see, there are many people that think that Jesus is coming in the future sometime to be a political king on the earth. Well, here Jesus said that he was not even a judge, much less a king. So Jesus' purpose in coming to the earth was not to occupy some kind of political office, and especially a throne, especially the office of a king. So this man wants Jesus to intervene. He wants Jesus to step in and talk to his brother about this inheritance, and Jesus refuses to do so. Here's what Jesus said to the people that were gathered around in verse 15. And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." Jesus went to the heart of the matter. This man wanted him to settle this financial dispute here, and Jesus said there's something deeper. There's something that all of you who are here today need to think about, and that is your attitude toward money. "Take heed," he said, "and beware of covetousness." Watch out for it. Guard yourself. Keep yourself from covetousness. Keep yourself from the mindset where you're always wanting more things in life. Guard your heart. Keep yourself from thinking that you have to have what other people have. Don't get into the mindset of thinking that you have to have more than other people have. Guard yourself from the thinking that things are going to make you happy or that they're going to bring you fulfillment in life, because they absolutely will not. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, the richest man that ever lived talks about all the wealth and all the possessions that he had. And he said after he had gathered these things together, after he'd tried to enjoy all the things that money would buy, and he had more than anyone today will ever have, Solomon said he looked on everything that he had and everything that he had experienced, and he said, "Behold, all was vanity." Now that means emptiness. Money and the things that money will buy will only bring emptiness. They will not bring satisfaction. Solomon warned about that thousands of years ago, and there are many people today that need to heed that lesson. They need to listen to what Solomon says, but sadly, most people do not. Now, Jesus is saying here, take heed. That is, watch out for and be careful about this. Watch yourself. Be honest with yourself. Examine your life. Examine your heart. Examine your priorities. Look at your motives. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, to examine yourself. Well, be careful who you imitate in life. Be careful what advice you listen to and who you're influenced by. Because if you listen to the wrong people, if you listen to the world, and if you follow the world today, then money is going to be your God. Money is going to be the most important thing in your life if you listen to the world. But remember, Jesus said that money is very deceptive. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, Jesus talked about the deceitfulness of riches. Money is one of the most deceptive, one of the most deceitful things on earth. We also read a story about a rich man in Matthew chapter 19. We call him the rich young ruler. This man was a good moral person. He was a person that would not wrong you. He treated other people right. He was a very religious man. He was a leader in the synagogue. And yet he had a problem. His problem was he trusted in his money and he was not about to let it go. And that kept him from following Jesus Christ. So Jesus' warning here is very much needed, folks. He says, take heed and beware of covetousness. There are a lot of things that people are watching out for today. There are a lot of dangers that people try to avoid. But Jesus said, the one thing that you need to avoid is the wrong kind of attitude toward money. And he adds these words, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Life is not about what you own. The measure of a man is not what he has, it's who he is. What a man owns is not an indication of the character of that man, and it's certainly not a proof of the goodness of a man. There's absolutely no connection between a man's money and his character. There is much more to life than having money and things. There are many, many things that are far more important. And what I find strange is this. There are a lot of people. There are a lot of good people otherwise. There are a lot of church members who will say these words, but their lives and their actions don't agree. I've heard Christian people sometimes say, well, you know, there's more to life than money, and money's not the most important thing, and my priority is not money, but their lives don't reflect that. Their lives are lived in such a way that you would think that money is their goal, and money perhaps is the most important thing to them. And folks, let me ask you this question. What real, lasting good can money bring you? Outside of bringing you food and providing for you clothes and a house and medical care and enabling you to do benevolent work and evangelistic works, what good is money anyway? You know, sometimes people ask the question, well, what kind of return are you getting on your money? Well, I'm asking that question this morning. Is your money producing faith in your life? Will money bring you more love in your heart? Will money give you patience? Will it bring you joy? Will it give you wisdom? Will it give you courage and boldness to do what is right? What kind of interest do you get from money? Do you get interest in helping other people? Are you more interested in saving souls? Are you more interested in building the church? Oh, when you look at money, folks, and you look at what money can do and what it can bring, it's very, very limited. And yet, there are many people that think that if you have money, you can do anything, enjoy anything, and that it's the most important thing, the most important goal in life. Jesus said, beware, because a man's life is not wrapped up in how much he has. Now, I've written down here what would be considered other versions of Luke chapter 12, verse 15, in terms of the world's sayings. In Luke 12, verse 15, Jesus said that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Well, if we were to ask people today, and they were to be honest with us, here's what they would say. The Wall Street version of Luke 12, 15 would read something like this. A man's life consists primarily in the abundance of the things that he possesses. The health and the wealth gospel of Luke chapter 12, verse 15 would read something like this. A man's life should include the abundance of the things that he possesses. The government view of Luke chapter 12, verse 15 would read like this. A man's life consists of the things the state allows him to possess. And the freeloader version of Luke chapter 12, verse 15, well, it would read like this. A man's life consists in the abundance of the things that he can con out of other people. Now, what we've done today is to look at the background of the story of the rich fool. We've looked at the occasion for it. Why did Jesus tell this story about this rich man who had these barns and built greater barns in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21? Well, it's because of this man coming to Jesus and asking him to go to his brother so that he would speak to him and divide the inheritance with him. That is what started this discussion, and tomorrow, Lord willing, what we're going to do is to begin in Luke chapter 12, verse 16, and we're going to look at the famous story of the rich fool in Jesus' teaching. And we hope that you can join us then. Folks, it's been great to study with you today, and we appreciate so much your joining us, and we hope that you have a great rest of the day.